Welcome to the latest edition of the Monty's Men podcast. And ladies and gentlemen, Sevilla doesn't suck anymore. Well, for the last two games, they haven't sucked. Finally. Two wins in a row. We haven't been able to talk about that for a long, long time, man. So that's awesome. Really happy with that. We got the usual guys on here. We got Eddie up in Toronto. Eddie, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing really good. How about the other usual, Ryan? How are you doing today?
Hey, thank you. I'm glad to be confused as usual. I'm doing great. sounding a little hoarse from the winter weather here in Washington, D.C.
Ryan Moore, of course, been on the podcast before in Vienna, Virginia. More poor for Vore, the greatest Twitter handle of all time, I believe, on that.
So, I don't know. Steviista is a close second.
I'm too boring. And of course, Eddie is no Tango Twitter or something, right? No TNA's, no TNA's Twitter.
Nope.
And we got Steve up in Minnesota who got snow today, I think, right? I was talking to guys today. Finally. He got some snow.
First time in about 3 weeks. Last week, this time, it was about 50 degrees outside.
We had 80. We had 80 couple weeks ago. We had like 6 inches of snow, and then it turned to 80. It's so weird. And then we might get snow on Saturday, you're saying. Kind of cool. Anyway, cool. We got not a lot to talk about, but we got some wins, which is amazing because we haven't been able to talk about that very much recently in Sevilla history here. So let's get right into it. Sevilla, of course, took on Rayo Vallecano, went up to... Where are they at? South of Madrid? They're pretty much Madrid, but I don't know like what part of the city in Madrid.
I know it's called Vallecas. That's about all I can tell you.
Vallecas. Actually, they might be in the northern part. I don't remember. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Madrid. So we go up there, pull off a 2-1 victory. Welcome back. Yusuf and Nesri gets both goals up there. And, I was watching the game and I was like, here we go again. Cause you know, we score like 15 minutes. It was right on the 15 minute mark, I think, or 18 minutes. No, it was 18 minutes. And then 10 minutes later they equalize. And I was like, oh man, here we go again. You know, it's always like, we can't keep a lead for anything. But then we fall back, get another goal right before halftime. And, held on and took our first victory since September or something like that. I don't remember when it was. It just feels like October. I think it was October. Whatever. Anyway, forever. Fourth win of the season, I believe it was. And we saw finally the Isaac Nesri pairing, guys. Nesri comes back from AFCON and we finally get a glimpse of that 4-4-2 kind of on paper, but that's not how they're playing. So, Eddie, give us a little idea of what you saw from these last few games with Cunha playing kind of out wide and Campos kind of playing kind of like a mock wingback, if you would.
Yeah. Campos essentially playing wingback. And you know he's always got to give himself to the cause, so... You'll see him joining attacks whenever he can. Cunha was playing as a third center back. But like going forward, he was kind of his left back role. So that's where you could kind of see the 4-4-2 there. We're essentially playing 5-3-2 now. I guess Kike wants to keep that pairing of wants two strikers up top. So we were wondering how he was going to incorporate Inesita into the lineup, and I guess we got our answer with these two games with Isaac and Inesita up top. And it's looking good, right? Right off the bat, it's against Rayo, and then in the recent game against Atletico, we're seeing a different dynamic that we haven't gotten to see recently. I know we'll speak a lot on Isaac and what he's doing, but it's very satisfying to see many solutions to a few problems we've been having.
Yeah, the first goal on that game, it was kind of a deflected pass from Isak. He tried to, like, pass it out wide, and it hit a defender, and it just kind of came right into the path of Enesiri, who hits it left-footed, past a keeper who was kind of charging out, trying to get to it. Ryo gets it back, like I said, 10 minutes later. Isi Palazon got kind of that lucky bounce from across.
That guy was just all over the field. And, you know, especially since he's, I think, 63 years old, if I'm not mistaken. the guy was just all over. I was like, the guy's going to score two, if not three, this game after just, you know, seeing him causing trouble all over the place.
Yeah, he came close. Nealon had to make that one save off like a little bouncer kind of into the. And I don't know. I really like him as a player. It was somebody that I kind of had an eye on like 2 years ago when he kind of blew up, and kind of was hoping we would go for him back then because he's just a kind of a dynamo, right? Like he's always working and all over the field, like you said, Ryan. So. It wasn't bad defending there. Well, I guess we could have closed down the cross a little bit there, a little quicker, but the cross comes in and bounced just perfectly and just high enough for him to get a little foot on it, and it kind of like just woo right over Nealon into the corner. So it wasn't like a crazy goal that, you know, bad marking or anything. Acuna was right there, just unlucky for Sevilla. And then the second goal for Sevilla was right before halftime, like I said. It was a counterattack, which was awesome to see. And it was kind of brilliant. Nealon it came off of a set piece off of Ryo. Ryo had a set piece. Nealon gets the ball. He recognized that Ocampos was out wide pretty much by himself, kind of. So he kicks it quick. Ocampos heads it to Isak, who catches it. And then passes it over to Enesiri, who again with the left foot just beats the keeper near post, and Sevilla's up 2-1. So, really fun game. What did I have for that one? I think Sevilla finished. It was 10 shots on target, 10 shots total, 6 on target. Actually, both of the games, Atletico Madrid game too, 10 shots on total, and then 6 on target for that game. But in the Ryo game, 32.9% possession. God, I can't talk anymore. But one thing I did notice, and I hope you guys can shed some light on this. I haven't done the numbers yet, but it seems like we're winning more aerial balls. And I don't know if that's because we're targeting Ocampos and he's winning them, or are we targeting, is Isak like freeing up space for that? Like, I don't know exactly. And I don't know if we're winning more than usual, but something I noticed, like on that stat line, it was like 21-7 or something. Aerials won. And I know in the past when we were losing, we were not winning that many. And I was really disappointed, especially with Enesiri and how he can leave, just not winning those aerial duels. But anyway, I'll let you guys speak about the game, what you saw. I'll shut up. Steve, you want to jump in?
Yeah, Enesiri came back on a mission after getting knocked out of the Cup of Nations there. And he should have had a third. He should have had a hat trick, but the goalkeeper made probably the most painful save I've ever seen a goalkeeper make in my life. Right in between his two goals there. But no, it was the first glimpse that we had. And we're probably going to talk about this in depth here in a couple of minutes, but the first glimpse of Isak and Nasiri kind of doing something that we've been wanting to see for years, but we just could not pull off with Rafa Mir alongside Nasiri because they are just very similar players. Isak brings something a little bit different, and it's really nice to see him come up from the youth team and make an immediate impact, I don't know, four divisions higher than what he's been playing for the last, you know, year and a half. So, nothing really else about that game other than, I mean, Ocampos almost got on the score sheet as well towards the end there. Right off the cross, I think it was right off the left side, wasn't it? Left side of the goal there. yeah, you'd love to see him get rewarded for the hard work that he's putting in day out. But that's not really something that's probably in the cards for him a whole lot. Now that he's kind of up and playing in that left back role, it's going to be a little harder for him to get up there as he's filling in with that five on the back line. But hopefully he can take advantage of some opportunities as they come up in the near future.
So, Steve, you said Ocampos, and I thought you were going to a totally different place, which was in what kind of stadium do you not even have to lean forward as a fan to touch the players, right? Like a guy, for those who aren't aware, a guy, a kid probably, I believe it was a minor, literally didn't even have to lean forward to reach out and poke Ocampos in the backside, which is assault. But like the crazier thing is like, why are there seats there?
Yeah, honestly, it reminds me of going to like the third division games here in the States, where you can just like reach out and high five the players, or like they need to have like other players, not even security, but other players just like go push people back from the corner flag on corner kicks. But yeah, it was, I don't know, I think that kid got I was looking at the form this morning getting caught up for the last week as I've been so busy. And it looks like somebody posted, and I'm not sure who this was, so you can give a shout out to who it was, or you can check it out on the forum. But I think he had like a 6,000 euro fine that he had, and then like a 12-month ban or something like that.
Yeah,
So
that was the.
hopefully he learns his lesson there. But yeah, no, you don't want to see that. I am really happy with how Ocampos responded to the whole situation, though.
Yeah, kept his cool.
I feel like he's the kind of player that could very easily kind of like just kind of bust off in that moment. He plays with a very emotional style of play. But it's cool to see that he can kind of rein that in when it's not called for. So I don't know, hats off to him there.
I think he saw it was a kid. Like I think he was ready to turn around and clock somebody, but he turned around and saw it was a kid, and it was like, oh man, a little help. But you're right, Steve. Like, bravo for not reacting any worse than he did. But he did the right thing too and called it out in the press conference and said, this is not acceptable. It shouldn't happen. If any, he said if this would happen in the women's game, like. We were talking a totally different like subject, like just because he's a dude doesn't mean that it's okay. If that had happened in the women's game, it would have been a big, much bigger story. But this one still made a lot of rounds on news cycles, and I think ESPN posted about it, and it was all over Reddit and everything else. So it made the rounds.
I don't know what it is about these fans that attack our players, but they pick the least obvious players to do this with. Like, if I were to assault a player on our team, I would not assault Ocampos. Like, come on, like I wouldn't want to do that. Last year, Dimitrovic got punched, right? Like, I would not want to punch our like big imposing Serbian goalkeeper. Like, come on, like why are you picking these players to do
Okay,
this
so
to?
now that we're on this conversation, like who do you
That's
go
what I
for?
was wondering.
I mean, I'm thinking
Question of the
I would
day,
first go for
right?
Kike Sanchez Flores, right? I think I could probably take Kike. The turtleneck, I would just pull the turtleneck. You got him in your claws once you got the turtleneck.
Yeah, that's. I was gonna ask Steve the same thing. Like, who would you go punch?
I don't know who I'd go for, but it would not be Ocampos, I'll tell you that.
It's right. Like, I until you brought it up, like I forgot all about Dmitrovic getting like assaulted last year. Like, what is it
Yeah.
about Sevilla getting
Yeah,
attacked from all these fans?
Joan Jordan getting hit in the head with a PVC pipe.
Yeah,
Yep, a missile.
Ramos,
Oh
I think it was Juan de Ramos, if I'm not mistaken, getting hit in the head with a bottle.
yeah, from way back.
Yeah.
That's
Sporting
crazy.
hooligans. Sporting hooligans.
I don't know. I don't know who I would punch. I don't want to punch anybody. Maybe, no, that's not true. Maybe, I don't I kind of would like to punch Rafamir or Genizai.
Oh, no. You don't even have to. You just mess up his hair and you have ruined his day, if not his life.
That's who, I'm sure that's who you'd want to punch, right?
I mean, I don't need to. I don't need any physical altercations with anybody, but I would definitely go straight for Rafamir's hair.
Just muss it up really good.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
On the subject of Rafamir, do you guys think, maybe is a question for later, but this same partnership could work with Isaac and Rafamir? And, like, it would bring something different out of him?
Didn't we try it? Like, that one game?
Them two together?
No, I think it, yeah, I think it was, or did they take them all?
Well, I know they had... I know, yeah, I mean, they had Ocampos and Isak, but I couldn't remember if Rafa and him were on the pitch at all together.
No, I think it was him and Mariano.
I don't know, because, I mean, it's a good question, but I think they're such different players, Yin and Rafa, that I think why it works is Isak's a good passer. And, well, one, he's good with the ball at his feet, not just passing, but controlling the ball when he gets it, and then passing it. And Yin's good at getting behind defenses, whether that's in the air or with through balls, which surprisingly he hit those two. I was actually kind of shocked that he made both of those goals in that game, because we've seen him pull those or shank them or something in the past. But for him and Rafa to work, I don't see Rafa getting in behind as much. So I don't know,
Eddie,
how
you're
still, Rafa
you're
still
looking,
gets.
Eddie, you're just looking for hope in all the wrong places, man. That is not, you know, Rafamir is ancient history at this point.
Yeah, that way he was even in the stands, like the Atletico game. No, like he wasn't even on the bench, I don't think.
I think he was hurt. I'm not sure what it was. I'm not sure if anybody cares.
Hurt. Yeah. Someone probably messed his hair up.
There you go.
That's it.
Or just posing a question in case we might see that in the future.
Well, I mean, we might have to. You never know.
Try to get rid of him for two straight windows hasn't worked. Yeah, I mean, you might as well keep him, right?
I mean, we know we can score some, so if we can figure out how to make it work, sure. My thing is, like, what happens when, like, and I asked this question, like, what happens when Luca Bacchio comes back? Like, where does he slot in? And then we got the guy that we've got on loan from the Spurs. Like, evidently he's a striker too, so, like, is he going to go? I don't see Rafamir touching the pitch at all like the rest of the season. I really don't see it.
Yeah, although you never know with injuries what might come. And one of the things that I was just thinking as I was thinking about this match is, had Morocco gone a round further in the AFCON, never mind to the final, right? Had they gone through to the final, right now, I think it's not remotely far-fetched to think that right now we'd be sitting on 17 points, tied with Cadiz for relegations, you know, just above the relegation zone. So, I mean, it is really, like, fortuitous that Enesiri came back when he did, because, I mean, no joke, this season would look like an... You know, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, this would have looked like an entirely different season and end to the season had Enesiri not come back. So we must thank our lucky stars that Morocco didn't go further, as much as I was rooting for them.
Yeah, great point. I just think they work well. When's the last time we had two strikers, like, paired together? I was trying to think about that earlier when Steve brought up, you know, us running a two striker system. Like, I can't remember the last time it worked.
I think you tried it for like a game and a half with Martial, right? Before that, kind of shit hit the fan. But I don't I don't recall the last time we had one that was like planned out that way, and we
Canute and Fabiano, maybe, like that's
probably, yeah.
I can't really think of any other time because
that seemingly worked. Yeah,
yeah, that worked.
You'd have to go back to the Negredo Canute days, because I mean, even these days, most teams just play the one striker system, right? And like having striker partnerships is rare, and I think I'd like to go with the 4-4-2. They do it often, but yeah, for Sevilla, we've been playing one striker system for like 10 years now, so I think this works, and especially when we have three defenders at the back, considering our limitations right now, I think this is working. Kudos to Ocampos for playing as a wing back, because he's playing out of position, but I mean, I think he's kind of tailor-made for that kind of role, preferably on the right, I guess, but yeah, he's tailor-made to be a modern fullback. I'm glad that this partnership is working. I mean, Isak, even if the goals dry up, he provides so much to the attack. He kind of takes the pressure off Enesiri. I guess it makes it easier for him, someone to link midfield and attack as well, right? So it's like, forget about a left winger. We have someone that, you know, that's supporting our striker finally. I mean, we're looking for that in so many ways that, you know, like nothing has worked, and like he's all of that and scores goals. So it's, and he's one of us. So it's just amazing right now. Is he gonna take Morata's spot now in the national team? Like that's, it's like, is he that good that I have to start criticizing him now for like not playing that good? Like you should have scored a hat trick against Atletico. Like we didn't get to the game yet, but man, the chances we had in that game, we're seeing our counterattack coming to fruition, starting to come to fruition. We're playing with less of the ball, which I think works for us.
Mm-hmm.
But that game really, I mean, because I was sick of seeing Atletico. We've seen them like 3 times in 2 months. So it was such a huge win and a huge testament to how much these guys have been fighting for a while to try to just get something to work. So it was very satisfying how that turned out.
Yeah. I mean, that game, I celebrated like it was a final. Like, I was jumping around my living room. Like, the dogs were, like, freaking out because I'm sitting here, like, screaming my head off because, I mean, it felt, like, that important. And you saw it in the players, too. The players celebrated almost like it was a final as well, jumping around and in the locker room. Watch that behind the scenes that's on YouTube from Sevilla TV. It was really good. It's great to see the guys smile. I mean, it's been such a downer this year. It was great to see them smile. That game, man, I don't know what the odds were, but it couldn't have been high for Sevilla to win that game. But they pulled it out, and they did it with style. Like, it was a pretty match. Isak getting the goal early, 15th minute, Acuna on the corner. Isak fights to get that ball. It's not an easy open header. He beat his man and was physical in doing it and put it in. And like Eddie said, like he could have had a hat trick in that game. He hit another one off the post, I think, or crossbar, and then headed that one right to Vaklik, or not Vaklik, sorry, Oblak. Just, you know, 39.7% possession in that game, Eddie. So, to your point, we don't have the ball as much, and it seems to be working pretty well. The most amazing thing to this game is Ramos was in the back line in this game and actually played really, really, really well this match. Surprised me, but I mean, he did. Also, I want to give out a shout-out before we get too far down talking about this game to Jesus Navas. For basically saving that game for us by that goal line clearance that he had. So just brilliant that he got there. Really, really good. So, guys, what did you think about that match? Like, Did you guys have the same reaction as I did? Like, it was like a final, or what did you think?
Well, I guess no one's going to go first. I'll jump in. I watched this game with a sense of impending doom for the entire game because I just thought that it was going to fall apart because that's what we've been seeing over the last year. And when we got to the final whistle, I just like collapsed into my couch and just like breathed a sigh of relief. And ever since that game ended, I have just had been on a high for Sevilla and that feeling like anything is possible for the rest of the year. Like we can play like this against an Atletico team that has had our number for a while now. We can play against anybody. Now, I mean, we did just get beat pretty handily against Girona, and we've got Real Madrid coming up in a couple of weeks. So I mean, we're going to be tested here soon again. But if we can play like this, like the style of play that we had, and like we're playing cohesively on defense and we're finding opportunities with our strikers, I feel like we could go on a run here and salvage something from this season. I don't know if we're going to climb high enough to even sniff at European places or anything like that, but we could go out of this season with pride and not be on pins and needles until the end of the year. And I'm happy about that.
Ryan, how'd you celebrate?
You know, I was You're like, I was three days into influenza, feeling terrible, but honestly, like I forgot about everything watching that match. You know, I couldn't, like you said, I couldn't celebrate it enough for a normal everyday match. You know, some of it is the like distaste of Atletico, right? Is, you know, just, you know, I remember, I think it was it the game right before Christmas where Llorente put like a picture of like him, you know, facing away from the camera and Ramos on the ground and the picture just said like Merry Christmas or something like that. And I was thrilled like minutes after the match when somebody like replied to, you know, to that thread from Christmas saying, and what did they say? Like, and happy Carnaval or something like that, you know, like whatever the celebration was, it was going on. But yeah, I mean, I celebrated it like it was, you know, the end of the season in a sense, right? Because I don't know if I'm so optimistic that there's like a ton to salvage other than like, you know, make that money of, you know, climb the table and get as much as we can out of that, salvage some respect. And, you know, if we're lucky, Betis is collapsing in every possible way and we could maybe catch them. That's like really the only thing I could hope us to salvage. But, you know, it's a beautiful, you know, beautiful time to be a Sevillista because, again, two seasons in a row, we suffered through just like epic bad seasons that somehow have a way of turning around. And there's no guarantee. We're still only six points clear. But I think, you know, things are feeling like they're going in the right direction. That's for sure.
Yeah. I mean,
we're 6 points clear, but we're also only 6 points from 11th. So, I mean, like we're right at that spot where we could, you know, make something of this last half of the year, or we could just crash and burn spectacularly. So no matter what happens, it's going to be a wild ride.
And still a chance that we might end up in Europe next year. There's a thing with UEFA talking about putting us in because we won the CONCACAF.
Do you think that that's legit? That it was like a friendly cup between the CONMEBOL, the Libertadores champion, I think it was.
Oh yeah, that was the summer.
Yeah, and yeah, I think that those have all been fake rumors. I don't know if any of you have seen anything credible. I think that that's all been fake news.
I haven't seen anything about this at all. Like what is this? Like, I haven't. I guess I missed
the idea is that they're going to put Sevilla through into the Europa League next year for having won this friendly competition. I mean, they did say there was a trophy, so they didn't totally call it a friendly, It's been a little bit up in the air, but the news that I've seen, like, I don't know, it didn't seem credible yet. But what did you see, Chris?
No, I mean, it's the same thing. Like, it's just a rumor at this point, but it's it kind of makes sense in a way, because so the tournament that we participated in is a new tournament that UEFA and CONMEBOL is putting on annually at this point. So the winner of the Europa League faces their winner of...
Their Sudamericana, whatever. That's what it is, not the Libertadores. So it's their second competition.
It's the second tier, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, and at this point, it's like there's no real reason to take that seriously, so I think they're just looking for an incentive to make teams pay attention and want to win it. We got lucky on penalties and won that, but...
Would y'all want that?
Hell yeah. Why wouldn't we?
Do you guys know who played in that game? Isaac Romero, he played in that game.
See?
Did he?
Yeah.
Did he hit one of the penalties?
Good question. I don't remember that.
I didn't watch
it. If that happens, I'm not going to look a gift horse in the mouth, but because that was not announced at the beginning of, like, when that game happened, when they were talking about the run-up to that game, like, if this does happen, I can totally see just all the conspiracy theorists come out of the woodwork and talk about how UEFA is just trying to get Sevilla into the Sevilla League, and everything is rigged, and it's going to, like, cheapen any kind of progress that we have in that. I'd still rather play in it than not, but...
Somebody,
like, it's, oh my gosh, things are gonna blow up if that does happen.
But somebody said that there was that happened to Liverpool a few years ago and something similar. I don't know this or recall it. I just saw that on the forums that somebody said that happened.
Yeah.
So I don't know the details behind it. But if you think about Dumb and Dumber, so you're telling me there's a chance. I'm for it, right?
And I mean, we made it that one year into Europa League in 10th place. Right?
Yeah, that was what, like, I forgot what year that was, 2017 or 2016, I don't know.
2013.
Was it 2013?
Yeah, when Emery first came in.
Yep.
God.
Was it one of the teams ahead of us, like Rayo? And there was like two teams ahead of us that got disqualified from European competition for financial fair play or something. I want to say one of them was Rayo.
Was it Malaga too? Like,
maybe.
I think Malaga was one of them, and it was like something financial that caused them not to be able to.
Stranger
they weren't
things
paying
have
players
happened.
Or something. Yeah, I don't know. It was so weird. I can't remember. That was a long time ago.
And then another 3-peat was one.
Yeah.
Well, not another 3-peat, but like, and then a 3-peat was.
Yep.
There you go.
I was one.
Somebody look that up, and let us know in the comments on YouTube or on the forum.
I don't know why. I just remember us being in 9th place and qualified for Europe. I'm like, yeah, it's crazy how that happened. We started like at the very beginning of qualifying and just ran the gauntlet, but
that wasn't the year that Emery didn't win an away game the whole year.
No, that was that season 3?
2 or 3.
I think I think that was season 3. Insane. We won at San Mamés in the Europa League, but we still didn't win a single game away from home in La Liga. That was wild. But
that was NBA, right? Was it that game?
No, NBA was season 2. NBA was season 2, and then we faced was it Cuenaplanca's boys in the final?
Yeah,
then we faced Dnipro in the final. I'm sorry, tangent, but like whenever I mention that game, I have to mention Reyes, like the most sexy reverse pass of all time to feed Ibaka for that second goal. But I don't. For all say all that, I don't think we're making it to Europe this season. I mean, unless things click, I think it's a little bit too far for that. We could definitely still catch Betis. I agree with Ryan. we could always still catch Betis. Like, I don't know. I was feeling a little jelly for what they did in the transfer window, but I'm like, these guys still suck. And it's sad because it's like
evidence they beat today. Us
once
today.
I can't remember the last time they beat us, but like they beat us and it'd be like, oh, the new Sevilla is here and times are changing. Still waiting to see something from them, you know what I'm saying? It's like, yo, use this time, you know, to make it more of a rivalry. But what could you do? What could you do? We gave them Isco and all they get is Man of the Match awards for him. But I don't know. No trophies.
They get dropped down to the Conference League. Ray, but
they got a Copa del Rey, but I mean.
Right now they're in sixth. I mean, but they're kind of imploding. I don't know. I don't think we have a lot of hope for Europe outside of this snowball's chance in hell for the Europa League direct qualification, I guess. But I also am not even going to pretend to understand how European qualification is going to happen this year, just with the new Champions League format and how that trickles down into the new Europa League and Conference League format. Because based on the coefficient for the year, for the country coefficients in UEFA, that will determine how many Champions League, Europa League, and Conference League spots you have. So there might be some countries with five teams in Champions League, and then like with direct qualification, and then you've got your Europa League could have multiple, could have more, and Conference League could have more as well. But all of that is still, you know, clear as mud at this point in the year, and it's going to take probably a couple of years for that to like really make sense to a lot of us. So
so
it's all kind of up in the air.
Steve, stick with me here. So the Caso Negreira, the Negreira refereeing scandal spirals. The first seven teams are all implicated. Number 8 and 9 go to Champions League, and then 10, 11 go to Europa League, and that's right where we land.
There we go. And then we got Conference League too. We could land in Conference League if we need to as well. Like that can be our fallback option. So
I think Ryan's recovering with too many influenza meds in his body.
but I mean, like you say that in jest, Ryan, but that is also something that's looming on the horizon. Like, I mean, there's so many things up in the air with this new Champions League format, and then the stuff that's happening with that case, and then you've got other clubs in other countries who are looking at some very serious sanctions for financial fair play. And if certain things happen in those cases, it could affect their country's coefficient, which would affect how many direct qualifiers they have. And that those qualifiers could end up going to the next country down the list. And it's, there's so much right now that nobody understands with this whole round robin tournament for Champions League going forward in the new format. So time will tell.
Can we just pause
it's
for
still,
a second?
It's still very slow. It's good. Okay, go ahead.
Our last podcast, we were talking about the doom and gloom of Sevilla. And here we are 2 matches later. We're talking about the possibilities of Europe. Like, come on. What a change. And with Isaac and Yen coming back, like, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Just that little bit of difference in play guys, style. And
did you guys hear the rumor that Mbappe is coming to Sevilla?
Yeah, I heard that he's going to be a free agent this summer. And, I mean, he really wants to get that that Sevilla weather. Yeah,
him and Mo Salah, I think, are going to be our two key goal scorers next season.
Yep.
There you go. Just need to find him a bar in Sevilla where he can find his future wife or something like Rakitic, and he'll fall in love and stay there forever.
Until he goes to Saudi Arabia.
Nesri got his 11th goal in the year, 7th in the league with his brace against Rayo. Isak with his fifth goal of the year in seven matches, third in the league. He also picked up his first assist with that one pass to Inezri. So congratulations to those guys. Question for you, other than Isak, who's been our most important player over this two-leg, these back-to-back victories, which we haven't had a back-to-back victory since May of 2023, I think is the stat I saw.
I gotta say this
name. Okay.
Sorry, Steve. I gotta say the sticks. You know, Nylan, like, it is just day and night from what we were seeing with our poor friend Dimitrovic, who looks like a totally different keeper than when he was at Eibar or when he first came to Sevilla and had a few matches. But, you know, hopefully he can come back someday. But for now, Nyland has just been really solid.
That's exactly who I was going to say as well. Just like you said, night and day, gives us a little bit of security back there that we haven't had since Bono left, really. So,
Eddie, what say you?
I was going to say Soumaré.
I knew that's who you're going to say.
He had an amazing game against Atletico. He was just solid. And it's like, are we going to have enough in the summer? Because this guy is a stud. He does everything, except for scoring goals. But, I mean, even Fernando got around to scoring goals, right? So I'm thinking, it's like, damn, us not being in Europe, is that going to be the nail in the coffin for us not getting to keep Soumaré, because he's like the answer for as a Fernando replacement and the future of this midfield. Djibril Sow is I don't know. I think on a defensive end he's very good. So it's not really, maybe you're not really seeing him in action, but like defensively is where he's contributing the most. I thought it'd be the opposite. But he definitely helps us in transition, whether defensively or getting the ball forward to at the start of those counters. But Soumaré for me had an insane game, and mentioning Acuña as well, because he was playing as a third center back, but when he's in the mood, this guy is one of the best left backs in the world. Even when he's just taking a player on one on one. Like, it's still crazy to see when he does it, because it's like, you're a defender, man. Just get the ball forward. But he's going at the opposing fullback or what have you. So
it was like 1 minute.
Good shot.
I was screaming like Acuña. Like, I can't remember if it was Rayo or Athletic. I think it was the Atletico game where he just gave that ball away like so easily across the middle. I just knew they were gonna score. And then, like, the next play, he's, like, bossing an attacker. Like, get away from me. Just shooing him off and getting the ball clear. So
classic.
And then delivering a couple just amazing balls. And he had that strike in the – was it Atletico or Rayo? Where he had that strike on goal that almost beat Oblak. It was like a laser. He was almost on the right side, like, I thought it was Navas at first, but it was actually Acuña that struck it. So he's been playing really well. I tend to agree with you. Soumaré is just playing lights out. Nealon's a great shout too, though, because I mean, his distribution here has just been great.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, that goal from Inezri was all Nealon. Like, if he didn't read that and get that ball pinpoint to Acuña, I mean to Campos, that goal would have never happened. So, and I thought his distribution when he first got a few matches with this team was poor. I was wasn't impressed at all. And then it seems like he's getting a lot better with that. So, great shouts. I think Bade is another good shout. He's been. I thought he had a really good game against Atletico, and that one run forward that he had where he dribbled past like three or four defenders or Atletico players, and just it was crazy. But I think he provides that stable presence, and now that he's I think healthy again, I think that's gonna help a lot with some of the mistakes that Ramos makes sometimes. But some good shouts there. I think all of those are.
I mean, you could even say Ramos in these last two games as well. Like,
well, Ramos didn't play Rayo. He was suspended. Rayo.
I know. That's awesome, though.
I mean, okay, MVP by. You know mine and Eddie's opinion on that. So, yeah, addition by subtraction is what you're
saying. So I gotta like bring up two plays from the Atletico match before we sort of lose track. One, you talked about Sumare, Eddie. The foul on Morata that ended up injuring him, like Sumare, like the way that he just comes into that play and it's like he went through paper, right? Like he's just like, I'm not sure. I think I may have contacted somebody in the air. I don't really know. It didn't feel like much to me. And, you know, like you never want Morata somebody
to just like run into him.
Oh, like it was contact for sure. It was, you know, but I mean, maybe it was a deserved yellow. But in any case, you just like, you see Sumare make that play and you're like, this guy is a player. Like he knows how to play.
The most surprising thing of that is they didn't call a foul on that.
You're right. He didn't.
It was play on. They didn't call a foul. That was the most surprising thing of that whole match to me.
I think it's because in the moment, it was just like, it looked like Sumare was just sitting there and Morata just like ran into him.
Yeah.
And it just, but I don't know. He like turned around and like, what was that?
He's a beast. I like him.
I really hope we can keep him. Yeah. Now he's actually like, yeah.
Just, what is it? 13 million?
I don't remember.
I think it's
15. 15. I know Leicester wanted it 20. For a while, and I think that's why the deal lagged throughout, like I think most of the summer. I think we finally got it down to 15, but that's probably still a lot for our standards these days. We'll see.
Yeah.
Well, we don't necessarily have to sign a striker. We have to give him a new contract so somebody doesn't come and poach him for 25 million euros or whatever his low buyout is.
So Romero, do you guys? I don't know if you've been following. So. If he hits 15 games, his clause goes up from 15 million to 20, which is not all that much protection. But they're apparently talking already or in coming weeks that they're going to re-up him and raise his clause to 40 million. So, which I think is a smart deal because otherwise within weeks he'll have a deal in principle with Real Madrid or Atletico or anybody. Because for them, 15 million, I mean, if they get him before he gets to 15 games, all right, and they sort of get him convinced. I mean, I hope he isn't that kind of guy, but we've seen a lot of young players, you know, attracted by the money. And Sevilla, to some degree, has done him wrong in the sense that, like, he sat on Atletico for a really long time, and a lot of folks were saying, Isak Romero is the next thing. We got to get him up. And he never had a chance. He didn't even travel this summer.
Some really good points there. Yeah, I mean, we gotta sign him. Like, we can't afford. I mean, we could afford, but we don't want to afford a striker if we don't have to. So, he's sitting right there and wrap him up. And he's an academy guy. We need all the academy guys we can. It's so important.
If you like, for anybody who like is learning Spanish, you gotta watch his interviews in Spanish. It is just like a masterclass in Sevillano accent. It's hilarious. I mean, it's like back in the day, Jose Antonio Reyes was the same too. You'd hear him when he was a kid and you were like, where did you grow up, my friend? It's a beautiful thing. But I wanted to, the other play I wanted to talk about on the Atletico game was the penalty. And I think it was on Romero, if I'm not mistaken, where it was just like unmistakable. And you just go like, how is that not reviewed? How is that not a penalty? I just, you watch it a million times and you go, I just don't know how you could interpret that as anything other than a penalty.
I was baffled, screaming, yelling at the TV, like, what? I had no idea, like, why. Everybody on Twitter was like, even people that don't like Sevilla was like, that's a penalty. Like, it was clear as mud. Well, not clear as mud. That's probably what the REF, EF, whatever the hell they're called, refs are thinking, clear as mud. But, yeah, you know what I mean. It was terrible. You guys, I mean, it's penalty all day, right? You're on mute.
Yeah, I'm in that boat, too. Like, I didn't understand it. But, you know, that's just another call that I don't understand. There's been a lot of those in the last, you know, 3-4 years. And the sad part is that the Spanish refs seem to get it right a lot more than a lot of other refs around Europe do. If you watch some other games and you see some fans' reactions there, like we don't have it that bad, and it still seems like we've got it pretty bad. So I think the state of refereeing as a whole right now is just very confusing. And then you throw VAR into the mix about what is or isn't a clear and obvious foul, and things have escalated a lot in the last half a decade that we need some clarity on. And I don't know if it's going to be able to come from RFEF or if it's going to have to come from somewhere higher. But I don't see this changing anytime soon. Especially because even the reps that we pull off of the pitch, we just throw them into the VAR booth. I don't know. It's frustrating, but you know you're gonna have a call like this that just leaves you scratching your head. And it wasn't too long ago where we had one that went our way. And we're like, oh yeah, I wouldn't have called it this way, but I'm not gonna complain about it because I benefit from this.
Well, speaking of that, Tim on the forums, I think it was Tim or maybe Brian, I don't remember which one, but basically they were saying that I think it was Sumare where the ball hit his foot and then bounced up and hit his arm. I think it was in the Rayo game.
It was Marcao.
It was Marcao. Yeah, that's right. And people are like, that was a clear penalty. I didn't think it was a penalty because he hit his foot and bounced up, but others were like, that's a penalty. And I was like, maybe I just don't know the rules either anymore. But we got away with them. I thought the ref in the Rayo game, who was the ref in the Almeria Real Madrid match, when that shit show happened, I thought he was really good in this match. I thought he was excellent. But he got overruled a lot by Hernandez, who's kind of, I guess, the senior La Liga ref now. So, you know, this is a guy that's only... This was his 10th match in the Rayo game and the first for Sevilla since he became a ref. So... young guy, and I thought he was excellent. So anyway, we don't talk about that. Anything else before for Sevilla before we move on to the youth and the women? Any last parting shots on Sevilla?
I mean, we've got an upcoming game against Valencia.
Yeah, we didn't even mention what we got coming up.
I mean, they're currently sitting ninth. They've been floundering for the last couple of years, kind of like we have. They've kind of turned it around a little bit this year, at least, to give them a little bit more cushion than they had last year. Hopefully we can do the same against them. If we win, we can climb as high as 13th and give us even more breathing room.
We should have sold them Rafa Mir just for this game, told them, like, he's free, but you have to play him when he plays against Sevilla. Right, because I mean, it's just like guaranteed zero goal sheet for Valencia.
Damn. It's like the opposite of that like no compete clause where you loan somebody out. Like,
exactly.
We used to see this a lot where you'd loan somebody out and you can't play against your home team. Now we're just going to sell somebody for free, but they can't play against us, or they have to play against us.
Yeah. Ryan's full of
Rafa is not that bad. Maybe for us. When he's playing as a single striker with no support, no service, of course he's going to be bad.
Yeah.
He needs it. But when there's players around him that's willing to give him the ball, and he doesn't have to shoot it when it's like the only three touches he's going to get all game. I mean, I understand why he's a frustrating character, but he's a very decent striker. That's why I think the Romero-Rafa Mir partnership could work, but that's neither here nor there. But the Valencia game, I'm just wondering, can Ramos do it again? Because I feel like he might need a break in between games for him to play this well. This was just one game, and he got the extra boost because we were playing the Mattress Makers. So I'm thinking that kind of riled him up. He's rested, and it's like it's against Atletico again. Patético, if you will. So he showed up. Against Valencia, we'll see. We kind of need it's kind of a revenge mission for what they did to us match day one. And I think the stats said we haven't lost there since 2017. Let's keep that going.
You're kind of right, too, about the time off. And the thing about these last two games was it's the first time this year that Sevilla didn't have a midweek match between games. So we were having a full week off. That True. Occurs plus one, I think, this week because we play Sunday, right? The game Sunday? No, Saturday. I think
it's Saturday,
sorry,
isn't it?
Yeah,
it's Saturday.
Valencia game's on Saturday.
Yeah, sorry, yeah. Saturday, 3 p.m. Eastern time. It's a 9 local over there in Sevilla. So, yeah, I mean, he gets a full week's rest, so maybe good point. Let's see what he looks like. Right after that, we got Real Madrid at Real Madrid on Sunday, February 25th. So a couple, kind of a couple games here that's going to really test the squad. We got that, and then Real Sociedad just right after that at home.
Do y'all think that Ocampos is going to make it back for Valencia?
For this match?
Yeah, because he wasn't in training. I think he was back in training today. I can't remember.
He was missing today.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure. I don't know what the official word is. I didn't know he was carrying anything.
Yeah, I don't know that, but that one concerns me.
We just played Pedrosa there, and we're fine. We kind of lose on the physical side, especially with that long ball as well. It kind of that helps us. Like, I mean,
we missed that
header. Helps us a lot.
We missed that outlet for Nealon. Is that kind of heading outlet? That was
exactly, you
know,
yeah.
Ocampo's kind of the target man there. Yeah, you're right. I mean, Pedrosa, he came in late. And then, but they still didn't take Ocampos off. They moved him forward, top, right? In Isaac's position. Yeah, so a couple of big matches there. The Valencia match is huge. They won three of their last five, so they're not in bad form. Speaking of not in bad form, Sevilla Atletico continues to stay hot, top of the table, and they've got a huge. Huge match coming up. It's on Sunday, and I'm pretty sure that's an 11 a.m. Eastern time game, which is unusual for Sevilla Atletico. So you might be able to get to watch that one. I don't know if it'll be on Sevilla FC TV or not, but sometimes they show these games, so you might be able to watch it. They're playing the second place team, Yeclano, who's like 1 point behind us or something. So huge match for those guys. Hopefully they can keep it going. And then the poor women, they had a rough time against the Barcelona gauntlet there. They faced Barcelona twice in 1 week, once in the Copa and once in league, losing by a combined 11-0. The first game in the Copa was 8-0. The league game, 3-0. So, luckily, we don't have to play them anymore. We can focus on what's ahead. They're not doing bad, though. They're still in sixth place, only 9 points back from third place with Levante. So they got Granada this weekend, Saturday, before they go on international break for a few weeks. So hopefully they can get back to their old form because they were really cooking there for a little bit, doing really well.
I think Barcelona just, they remember that we took points off them last season. So it's like, you know, they had to get back at us for that.
And broke their streak, I think, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And they just lost another streak yesterday. So I think it was yesterday. They lost. Not lost. They drew with Levante. They might have lost to Levante. I don't remember, but their win streak for the league got broken.
Oh, shucks.
It's about damn time. Anyway.
Chris, can I just say, going back to Sevilla Atletico, you know, I think that's like probably a huge piece of the, like, of next season is getting Sevilla Atletico up a division, because I think you look at some of the players that we've got on the hub right now, and, you know, as much as you can loan some of those folks out, it just becomes untenable if they stay down, you know, and you just end up losing a lot of talent. Whereas some of the talent that we've been able to bring in, I mean, that team just looks really solid. The number of guys that we've got playing, not to mention some of those guys who were brought in as sort of false canteranos. But I mean, that for me is huge. If they can make it their way up to the, whatever it's called, primera, that's actually tercera. Something about math is difficult in Spanish soccer. They're like, well, let's just not call them first and second, and then we'll start with the third division and we'll call that first, and it'll sound less dooming. But anyway, I mean, I do think that that's huge for us if we can get up to third division with the Atletico crew.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's why Horta made those investments that he did, bringing in those young guys.
Muzambo.
I can't think of their names. Odombo, right?
Odombo Muzambo.
Yep. And then the other guy, Menji. What?
Mejia.
Yeah. You know, making those investments to the lower division to make sure that they go up. I think that's critical. And then those guys might be with us next year, playing critical spots. There's a few guys down there that are knocking. We saw. What's that?
Musa.
Musa's one that we might see before too much longer. And these guys are getting to the point where they're going to be aging out. So they're going to have to make a decision, either moving on or moving up. So a few of them. There's some that are still really young. Golly, I can't think of all the roster in there. But was it Cappy, I think, is like leading the team, maybe leading the league in assists. Like, I think he's got like 11 assists on the year or something. You got Mano Bueno that we've seen at the front, first division. So, I mean, there's a lot of talent down there. But to your point, Ryan, getting up is a huge goal. Just the talent level that they're going to be facing is huge. Then you're starting to talk about the Barcelona Bs, the Real Madrid Bs, the Real Sociedad Bs, you know, those kind of guys. And that's where I want to see this club go in the future, is like a Real Sociedad, promoting from within as much as you can. So, anyway, anything else, guys? We're right at the hour mark here on February 15th, day after Valentine's Day. Hope everybody took care of your significant others with a good meal or foot massage or something. I don't know. Hopefully Sevilla takes care of us with a victory this weekend.
Hopefully. Before we do go, though, I just want to mention our former coach, Mendy Libar, landed in Greece, and he found himself in another European competition this year. So we'll see how they do.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Which team?
Yeah, he's with Olympiacos now.
Wow.
So, they had a 1-0 win in their, I don't know what it's called. It's the playoff for the round of 16 playoffs. So it's really like the round of 32. They dropped down from Europa, so they're playing against the team that finished second in a group in the Conference League. But I don't know. It'd be cool to see what he did. I watched that game. kind of fell in love with Olympiakos while I was in Greece. Just some of the people that I was hanging out with were Olympiakos fans. So watching that game and then seeing Mendy Libre on the sideline, I'm like, God, oh, this is just like this is so weird. But yeah, so I don't know. Hats off to him. I really enjoyed him as our coach. Sad that it didn't work out. So
There's a couple of
hope him the best.
Olympiakos guys over on Reddit that was asking about Mendilibar
Yeah.
on the Sivi FC site, so you should
Hey,
check those
as long
guys
as
out.
he doesn't make language an excuse again.
This is his first. This is the first time he's ever coached outside of Spain, which is huge. For a
That's
guy
good
who's
for
been
him.
coaching as long as he has. Yeah.
I'm proud of him.
Think it's easy when you're going to a team that's been as successful domestically as Olympiacos is. So they're a little bit down this year, but I don't know. Hopefully he can help them out.
Seems like a nice guy. Like you want to root for him no matter what. He just saved us really last year, and just seems like a really, really nice guy. Kind of like your old grandpa or something you want to hang out with. But anyway, guys, let's kick some ass against Valencia. In their old ass stadium that they've been trying to replace for the last 10 plus years, and still can't
Don't
do
jinx it, man. We're going to be in that same situation like a decade from now. So that's.
it.
And
We
he's
are
just
not
shaking
them.
his head at me.
We are not them.
Could be worse.
Yeah, it could be a lot worse. We could be Betis.
Losing to a team that we beat
Amen.
four times.
And neither of the Del Nido cronies is nearly as bad as Lim.
Exactly.
That's a whole different story.
This is true. All right, guys. Thanks for joining. Ryan, thanks so much for coming on. You're awesome as always. Steve, Eddie, good to see you guys. We'll talk to you soon, probably in another week or two. And until then, vamos mi Sevilla.
Vamos, campeón.
Y no te rindas.